Welcome to the Scriptures and Sermon podcast from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada, for Sunday, April the 28th, 2024, the fifth Sunday of Easter. Thank you for joining us, and we pray that you will feel God's presence wherever you are.
Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that we may proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We're going to be reading from Acts 8, chapters 26 to 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went, and now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace Queen of Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he returning home, seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to go in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the Spirit, scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shear, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went to his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus as he was passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Now we're going to do the responsive reading, Psalm 22, verses 25 to 31. "For you comes my praise in the congregation, my vows I will pray before you, those who fear him."
"And be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever."
"All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall call worship before him."
"For dominion belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations."
"To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust. I shall live for him."
"Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord."
And proclaim his deliverance to people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. The epistle lesson is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so they might live through him. In his love, not that they loved God, but that his love and sent his son to the atoning sacrifice of our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe that God has for us, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfected love casts our fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection as love. We love because we first loved us. Those who say, I love God, I hate their brothers or sisters, are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have for him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also.
Let us join together and sing the hymn 692, Where Charity and Love Prevail, number 692. And we continue now to read from God's word as it is given in the gospel according to John. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Over the past several weeks, we have journeyed through this season of Easter in the church calendar, you may have noted something just a little bit different about the readings that we have heard in Scripture each week. Normally, the lectionary gives us four readings to read each week, just as we read four readings this morning. Normally, however, we read a passage from the Hebrew Scriptures, a psalm, a reading from the letters to the early church, and a gospel reading. But during the season of Easter, we set aside the reading of the Hebrew Scriptures, and instead we read from the Acts of the Apostles. For the first few weeks of the Easter season, we also place ourselves alongside the disciples as they experience the resurrection appearances of Jesus. And then we turn our focus toward the development of the fledgling church. It is appropriate that this shift should happen, I think, because like those first disciples, we too need to be reminded of Jesus' testimony to the love of God made known to us in his life, death, and resurrection. And then to see what the implications of God's life-changing love were for those same disciples as they went out into the world to tell others about the good news of Jesus. That is that shift that we make, and I guess we kind of, between last week and this week, that shift occurs for us. Certainly, we hear this message of God's love in our readings for this morning. The letter that John writes to the early church reminds us of the centrality of God's love made known to us in Jesus for the forgiveness of sin and for new life in Christ's name. But the amazing thing that we discuss, that we learn, I think, as we listen to 1 John this morning, is that love always requires an object. There are some characteristics, some traits of our human life that don't require an object, right? We can say that someone is intelligent. That has nothing to do with anybody or anything else. We can say somebody is courageous, and again, that doesn't really reflect in their relationships with others. But when we say that someone is loving, there is always another outside of them that receives that love. So it is for us who are Christians. We have received God's love in Christ. We are the object of God's affection. And if we are to exhibit God's love, then we too must engage in the world and the people that we find in it. They become the objects of our projection of God's love. So like the vine and a vineyard, love bears fruit. It constantly requires us going out and touching the lives of other people. The mission of the Christian church, our mission, is to make God's love known. And the easiest way to do that is in concrete and practical ways, and always, always. These acts of service will move us outside of our own circle and to encounters that are outside of our comfort zone. That certainly was the case in the story that we hear from the Acts of the Apostles this morning. We hear this morning about Philip and his encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, the Ethiopian eunuch, we don't quite know all the details to the story. We know he's traveling back home. He has been to Jerusalem, probably for one of the festivals, and he is on his way back to his home in Ethiopia. He is a servant of the queen, the Candace of Ethiopia. And as part of his fulfilling of his high estate and status, there was a requirement somewhere that he become a eunuch. It's an important fact in the story. Because you see, according to the Deuteronomic laws of the Hebrew scriptures, this man is cut off from the worshiping community because of his disfigurement. The law prohibits him from being someone who gathers and worships. He is someone who is foreign to God's glory. But in the story, the eunuch, sitting in his chariot on his way back home, reads the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And we believe, tradition has it, that he was reading the latter parts of Isaiah, the chapters in the 50s, where he was reading about the story of the suffering servant. The suffering servant who comes to hold open the door to heaven's kingdom to all. And so the question that arises for the Ethiopian out of that particular passage from the book of Isaiah is, could there be hope? Could there be hope for this man, excluded from the faith because of who he was? And then Philip shows up. Philip overhears the reading as he comes alongside the chariot, and he begins to interpret for the Ethiopian the reading from Isaiah. Through the new understanding, the new lens of God's love that is made known to us in Jesus Christ. That Christ indeed is our suffering servant, the one who opens the kingdom of God to all who would believe. And so the eunuch asks the only question that he could ask. Even me? And he is baptized that very day. A life changed because of an encounter with the love of God and of a God-fearer, Philip. And that is our role. Our role as Christians is to walk alongside those who we meet each day, those who find themselves lost and excluded and in despair, and to show them that they have a place in the kingdom of God, and a place here amongst us as well. How easy it is to build walls, to separate and to keep others out. And our experience, I think, has been that even the church is not immune to those most human of tendencies. All churches from time to time have tried to keep some out and others in. So we must be on guard, lest we allow the weeds of sin to choke out the tender shoots of faith that are all around us, the longing for hope in those that we pass each day in the streets. During the American Civil Rights Movement, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King noted that 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning was the most segregated hour in America, because blacks attended one church, whites attended another. Even as Christians whose hope in Christ should certainly have been a more powerful force drawing people of faith together than anything else that would drive them apart from one another, even that faith was eclipsed by the sin of segregation. And picking up on that very theme in quotation, the American sociologist Robert Putnam noted in his 2010 book, American Grace, How Religion Divides and Unites Us, Putnam noted that King's words continue to define the American church even today. Race, economic status, education, sectarianism, all of these things continue to be barriers in far too many places and far too many churches that separate people from God, one from another, and in the end, it is the love of God that is most excluded. As 1 John notes in his letter, how can we say that we love, that we have love, if we hate even our brothers and sisters in Christ? So the question for us who are the church, us who seek to be the love receivers and the love givers of God, the question for us is, who are those who are on the edges of our society today? Who are those who continue to need the love of God proclaimed to them? That is where the mission of the church begins. To overcome all of those things that would keep us separate one from another, all of our judgments and all of our preconceived notions, to allow us to be able to welcome those who stand on the sidelines looking in, and to let them all know that in this place, they have a place, and in this place, the love of God shall reign. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Scriptures and Sermon Podcast from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada. If you haven't already, please don't forget to subscribe so you can get new episodes each week. Be sure to check out our website, stjohnscornwall.ca, where you can find links to our social media pages and more information on our ministry. Until next time, God bless.